Continuing with our examination of the current events and actions regarding illegal immigration and how it needs to be addressed, we've seen legislation fall to defeat, another bill kicked up to next week, more attention being paid to the jacket than an issue, and people pointing blaming fingers who, in some cases, should be looking in the mirror when they do that. With us now to discuss this is CNN commentator, member of the President's Hispanic Advisory Council, Steve Cortez. Thanks for being here today, Mr. Cortez.
You bet. Thanks so much for having me on the show.
Let's start with the legislation, because there were two options, a conservative bill and a more of a compromise bill. The conservative bill failed to maybe more surprising than expected defeat. Now, the compromise bill got booted up to next week, which, if I understood right, they're trying to inject a mandatory E-Verify into that bill. And if that is what goes to the Senate, it's never getting out of the Senate. Robert Menendez is going to make sure of that.
Right. No, exactly. So, there's a lot of consternation about which bill the House will pass. You know, of course, I prefer the more conservative version, but I don't think it matters in either case, because neither of these bills, because they include border funding, which, is a massive appropriation, that means that it has to go by the Senate rules where you need 60 votes. And there's just no chance. I mean, I think at most, in terms of getting a Senate Democrat to join us, I think Manchin is probably the only choice. Maybe there's one other out there. But there's no chance of not 8 or 9 of them, which is what is needed. So let's just face it. Legislation is not going to happen. The president just tweeted about that, by the way, and said, don't even bother. We need to take this into November. We need a much more conservative Republican House, better Senate, and then we have a chance to do something in 2019. And that's a shame, but I just think that's the reality.
And obviously it's going to happen later than sooner, but how valuable is it to have Paul Ryan out of the way later? Because when it comes to talking about and dealing with anything to do with immigration, he looks like he's making a hostage tape.
Yeah, I had to say, Paul Ryan, I am not a fan. Even though I'm a Republican, I'm much more of a 2016 Republican rather than an establishment one. I'm a Trump guy. And Paul Ryan drives me nuts, quite frankly. I'm really glad that he's going to be on the way out. I really want the Republicans to maintain their majority, of course. But I hope we have a much, much stronger speaker going forward, because he was pretty feckless and he sold out to K Street corporate interests again and again. And let's face it, on immigration, a lot of the Republicans, and he's one of the worst culprits of this, a lot of the establishment Republicans, they often told us what we wanted to hear. They talked tough on the border and illegal immigration, and then they never did anything about it. And why? I think mainly because their corporate benefactors liked the continual flow of cheap labor. And it is great for big business. It's great for wealthy people. You know who it's not good for is the American worker. And so Trump was elected largely on this basis, and I'm glad that Speaker Ryan will be pushed aside. And I think, quite frankly, the president, too, really, he didn't name him, of course, in his tweet, but I think he was admonishing him and effectively saying, if you're going to try to give me some milquetoast bill that you think I'm going to sign, that's not happening.
When you look at the opposition, anything that the president has tried so far, I mean, even giving him what they wanted in the immediate here and now through the executive order, even that got attacked.
Right. No, exactly. And listen, I did not support, I very rarely criticize the president, but I did on this executive order when I was on air on CNN. I thought it looked like he caved, and I think that's a bad sign. I think essentially telegraphed to his critics that, if you call me Hitler 5,000 times, I might give in. And so I didn't like that. Now, I don't think there was a whole lot of substance to it, to be honest, the executive order. So I get that. Maybe it was more symbolic than anything else, and he just wanted to look reasonable and sort of calm the media hysteria, and that, I can understand that. But you're exactly right. That here's the problem. When you give in to the hysteria of the left, they don't give you credit anyway. I mean, they still attacked him. In some ways, I think it almost made them more mad. So if they're not going to give you credit when you concede, well, then just stay and fight on principle is my advice.
Well, in fact, did the president fold, or did he just take, and this is something I mentioned in the previous segment too, it's called the Flores Agreement. It dates back to a case all the way back in 85, and then 1997, they came up with the specifics of if a illegal immigrant child is being held and detained for whatever the reason, because the parent, because the child unaccompanied, whatever the case may be, there are specific steps that have to be taken with the safety and well-being of the child. One of those being a 20-day limit of holding until deciding what to do with the child. If the parent's not available, guardian, family member, whatever the case may be. If I understand the executive order right, all the president did was just knock off that 20-day limit.
Right, or at least, yeah, challenge the Flores. You're right. Now the court can certainly hold its ground and say, no, you know, we demand that you stay with a 20-day limit, and the only way to overdo it is legislation, you know, not an executive order. So, no, you're right. I mean, it was narrow, and maybe I'm being a little too tough on the president. But in my opinion, the hysteria was actually starting to die down when he did that, and I think people were starting to – the truth was being revealed. For example, that picture which was sent all over of the little girl, the toddler crying, which Time magazine put on the its cover with the president looking down at her, you know, as though he were reprimanding her or something. Well, we find out the truth of that picture, right? She was with her mother. She was never separated from her mother. Her mother was an economic migrant to the United States. We found out by admission of her own family. She was not fleeing persecution. She wanted to come here for economic reasons, which, by the way, I don't begrudge people wanting to come here for economic reasons. I understand it. Thank God I was born here, and thank God my dad came here legally. But while we welcome people who want to come, there is a process, and they can't just decide on their own to criminally trespass and make that decision on their own rather than follow the rules of the United States.
So Steve Cortez, who is a CNN commentator, also a member of the President's Hispanic Advisory Council here on Issues and Ideas. Considering the people who you're surrounded by at CNN, my sympathies, by the way, from certain points in time, the image that's being painted by those and others is that this is something that was launched by Trump, created by Trump, and only Trump can bring it to an end. And as I just referenced with the Flores Agreement and many other elements, you can go back to the mid to late 80s to see where this policy really had its origins from.
Right, exactly. No, and in fact, the opposite is true. You know, it reminds me of North Korea, for instance. What the president is doing is taking leadership and fixing messes that were frankly left to him by previous administrations. And I'm about as tough on George Bush on these matters as I am on Obama. So when it comes to the border, catch and release was the de facto policy of both those administrations, you know, for the most part. They did separate children from families. They did under Obama. But for the most part, if you had a child with you, you got a free pass. And by the way, a child who may or may not be your child, that's one of the problems here. But when you do that, you incentivize people to use children as almost admission tickets to the United States. And think of the abuses that have to be going on. You know, that's one of the things I try to point out, too, is that a porous and open border is terrible policy. It's also actually, the left wants us to think that that's merciful, that it's somehow welcoming. It's actually the opposite of merciful, because there is so much human pain and suffering involved in the smuggling of people, sex trafficking, smuggling of contraband. So the criminality and lawlessness, which we permitted for decades at our border, and about suffering. And this president has the guts to take the tough steps and the tough measures to try to rectify that.
So given the state of affairs right now, which is more likely to happen? Some resolution to the challenges of immigration? Some people say that one side is going to have to accept border security, while the others are going to have to accept some form of path to citizenship. Is that going to happen first, or are we going to see the sale of I don't really care jackets go up?
Right, that's right. You know, listen, to be honest, I don't know. You know, more questions than answers right now. I don't see either side blinking. I really don't, and that's, you know, too bad, because, you know, having Republican control of both houses of Congress is supposed to give us a lot of leeway on things like this. And allow us to get legislation done. I just, unfortunately, I hate to be cynical, but I don't see it happening. And I think what the president's probably going to do, my guess is his executive order does withstand judicial review, and we have some sort of detention of families together, which is not optimal, but it's better than cash and release. But yeah, we'll certainly be challenged, right? I mean, because then the attack from the left will be, well, now you're holding kids in jail. It's mommy and me prison, right? So, and that's my point of, too, when I said earlier, I don't believe in giving much to them, because you'll still be attacked, you know, regardless. But you know, the president has a really tough task ahead. Thankfully, by the way, this is an important issue. But let's be honest, as fixated as the media is on it, most Americans, this doesn't affect their lives. And the things that do affect their lives, particularly economics, this is the six-month anniversary of the tax cuts, all of those macro key issues are trending so importantly in the direction of prosperity for America and in President Trump's direction. And so given that, I think while the media makes a lot of noise about this border issue, what's far more important to the vast majority of people's lives are the economic issues that are really, really moving in the right direction.
Now, if you've seen recent polls, the Trump approval rating is hanging around 47-48%, depending on the poll you look at. You see him regularly on CNN. Also, a member of the President's Hispanic Advisory Council, Steve Cortez, thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.